Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Utah PTA Pulse Podcast. I'm joined here with my co-hosts. To my right, your left, is
Angeli Ado.
And I'm Cammie Whitchurch.
And I'm Mike Williams, Communications Director here. And we have a guest on our show today, but we're going to start with something from Angeli, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Okay, so today's question of the day is, you apply to be a part of the Avengers, but you're rejected because your superpower is kind of boring. What is your superpower?
How boring superpower?
Whenever you think of one, just start talking.
Shut it out. Let me think. What would be boring that they wouldn't want?
Great time management.
I bought that superpower. Can I have it? I'll take it, even if the Avengers won't take me.
But they probably wouldn't take it.
Yeah.
Like, because that's not very cool.
You show up and you're ready to take down the bad guy before he gets started, and you're right on time.
I like that superpower. What about, like,
I'm just thinking, like, house cleaning. I can clean my house. Super spotless. Great for you, buddy. I don't know. That would be... I would love that superpower.
I know, for real.
Like, last time you discussed something about superpowers, and I wanted to be like Superman or something and go real fast. But yeah, I want a superpower where I clean my house.
I want a superpower where my house cleans itself.
Oh, yes.
I don't want to have to do it. How about a good handwriting? Superpower, like beautiful handwriting. Anytime you write, it's beautiful. Is that a superpower? I don't know what it is.
I think it could be. I mean, it's boring, right?
So, like, you could change, or what about like a superpower where you can change colors? There we go. That one at least is a superpower. You can change color, but that's kind of useless.
Like, suddenly be blue and then green.
Yeah.
They would use you somehow. Blend in with that wall.
Oh, that's true. That's true. You could kind of spy. You'd be like the chameleon. Oh, yeah. You know what? That's one of my nicknames.
There you go.
Chameleon. Yeah.
I feel like my superpower could be like to be a good communicator, because they don't communicate very well. You know, they just want to like kill the bad guy.
That would also, that'd make it a lot less cinematic, because then you show up like, all right, let's all just sit down and talk this out.
Let's just talk about it. Like, let's work it out. We don't need to fight each other or kill each other.
A good negotiator.
Yeah.
Although they would probably want that.
I don't know.
Make for a really fun movie. All right, guys, let's hash this out.
Avengers 25.
Yep. That's what it would be.
I love it. I love it. Awesome. All right. Well, let's get down to business. So today we have with us Mason Bennett. He's from One Kind Act a Day. So just why don't you introduce what One Kind Act a Day is, introduce yourself, and we'll go from there.
Sounds great. Like you said, I'm Mason Bennett. I'm the operations manager for One Kind Act a Day, and it is like the best job ever. Usually when you tell people you're a lobbyist, they look at you like you don't wash your hands when you use the restroom. But then you tell them you're a lobbyist for kindness, and they're a lot more excited to talk to you about that. One Kind Act Today, what we are is we're an organization that was founded in 2022 by the Sinani Family Foundation. And it was founded with the idea that, you know, there's a lot of division and a lot of anger and contention in the world, and what would be the benefit, what would be the ripple effect if we were just to try and focus on doing one deliberate act of kindness a day. And I always tell people, you know, we've gotten as low as we can go, lowest point of entry, just one thing a day, literally can't go any lower. We can't say do half a kind of act of kindness a day. Just one kind act a day, but it's a low entry point to get you in and get you just started on a life and a habit of just trying to be more kind to our fellow person. And it's just a lot of fun. We work in, we have different focuses. We focus in the political realm, where we definitely need more kindness. We focus with businesses, helping with employee engagement, culture, kindness towards our employees and their vendors, their customers. We do a lot of work with schools. Schools are, you know, so much fun. Kids are great mentors for kindness, and it's great to watch them jump in wholeheartedly into these initiatives. We work with religions, and everything that we do, we hope will permeate back to the home and back to individuals, helping people just develop better habits of kindness and getting stronger communities.
I love that.
Thanks.
What sets your kindness initiative apart from like others?
That's a good question. I don't want to put any kindness organizations down because, I mean, we're all doing great work. Mm-hmm. And we love to partner with a lot of them because, you know, we can't be everywhere and the world needs more kindness. So we're really grateful for all of them. One thing that I think would set us apart, that sets us apart from a lot of 501c3s, that's a really great benefit that we have, and I always feel kind of bad telling people about this, but we're a charity, but we're a fully funded charity. Thanks to the Simnani Family Foundation, we don't seek nor do we accept donations. When people offer to give us donations, we say, thanks, we'll be your first favorite charity, please go give it to your second favorite charity. And the best part about that is it lets us focus full-time on the mission, on the message. We don't have to take any time fundraising or anything like that. We just get to go out and focus on spreading kindness however we can. And when we offer initiatives to schools, for example, we offer them free of charge. Kindness is our currency. We don't want people to have to pay to get these programs or feel like they can't bring a program to a school or a business or a community because that costs too much. And kindness is free. It should be for everyone. So I think that's one thing that sets us apart from many of those other great organizations that are doing amazing work as well.
That's really cool.
That is way cool.
Mm-hmm. Well, that just means that you can take the money that you would be donating there and donate it to some of these other charities.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah, we do. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. So what are these programs? So these programs say that you implement in schools. What do they kind of look like? What, if you were going into a school today, what would be the process?
So that's a great question. Initially, we talk with people and what I just talked about with it being free and not requiring funding, that usually takes us a couple of times to reiterate. They're always like, wait, are you sure? Like, when's the shoe going to drop? You know, we had one principal we told and we gave her the pitch for everything we could come in and do. And I said, oh yeah, by the way, it's all free. She's like, oh, thank goodness. You know, I was thinking about how great this is, but just thinking I can't sell any more cookie dough. I don't want to go and sell any more cookie dough this year to pay for something else. We're like, you don't have to. Don't worry about it. But so what usually happens is we go into an organization like a school, for example, and we overwhelm them with all the possibilities of things we could do and the benefits that kindness could bring to the organization, for a school, for their teachers, for learning, for helping with attendance and all sorts of things, decreasing bullying as we teach kids to be kind. Bullying naturally goes down as a result of that, and a lot of great benefits. And we go in and we explain the process. But one thing that we like to do, we have to be nimble in order to do it, is we like to tailor make these initiatives to fit with what the schools have. A lot of things we can repeat because a lot of things, you know, we find best practices or things that work, but we also want to be cognizant of the goals they have, of the problems they have, and we get a lot of really fun things, not fun, well, yes, fun, but also interesting things that come out of it. For example, we had one school that came to us and they said, listen, we love this, this is great, we really want to do this. But one reason why we want to engage with you and we're glad you want to kind of tailor make this is because our teachers are not being nice to each other. They're not great examples of kindness, and there's some bullying happening among the staff, and we'd like to address that. And so we had to think about how we would do that. We couldn't go in and say, listen, we hear you all being really mean to each other, so we're here to fix that. But we started something that we actually end up using with a lot of schools afterwards, where we went in and we said, listen, we're going to do something with the kids. We'd like to get the teachers involved first and kind of, you know, talk about the kindnesses that are happening around you. And we kind of framed it like that so we could work with them and give them some good ideas to call out, to stop and celebrate and recognize the kind things that were happening around them. So instead of trying to focus on the bad things, you know, something someone said or something someone did, they were focusing on how they were being kind to each other instead. And that kind of just gave a little paradigm shift that helped a lot. We end up doing that with a lot of schools now, which we learned because we were trying to tailor make the program. So we go in, we talk with them, we say, this is all the things that are possible. There's more that's possible we don't know about. We'd like you to take this to your staff and kind of brainstorm and come up with some ideas and talk about your goals and your missions and come back to us and let's figure out a program. And for some, it could be as short as a week. For some, it's a month. For some, it's a year. We do have a Certified Schools of Kindness Award that we give, and there are some requirements in order to achieve that. Nothing onerous, but if they want to work towards getting certified as a school of kindness, a community of kindness, we can work with them towards that and doing some of those goals. So that's kind of what it looks like. And then we can come in, do assemblies, help with messaging, work with the teachers, work with the student leadership, and that's kind of what it looks like.
Hmm. That's really neat. I like the tailor-made aspect of it, I think, because there are different needs. you know, depending on the community and demographic that you're working with.
Yeah, with that point, we had a school, and sometimes we'll get kids involved in service projects. It's interesting because we work everywhere from preschool to postgraduate level schools. And I've got young kids, and whenever I go to a charity and I say, can my kids come volunteer at the soup kitchen or pack these boxes? They say, yeah, when they're 13. I say, okay, they got to wait till they're a teenager until they can learn to be nice, you know, and do something service oriented. And so sometimes we'll try to offer service opportunities for the kids. And that was one thing that came out with the school. They said, we're a school that's maybe a little poor, and we end up, a lot of our kids and our school itself gets a lot of the charity from other organizations. We'd actually really like to do a food drive ourselves. And feel like we're giving back in a way, and that was something that was really beneficial for the kids and everyone to be part of. So yeah, it's fun to tailor make it like that.
Yeah, that's very true. I hadn't thought about that. A lot of places will not allow younger kids to volunteer, and so that's tricky.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess I kind of understand why.
Yeah, you know,
but
there's probably a liability thing.
Exactly.
I don't know, but I feel like I don't think I'd want to let my 5-year-old do some things, but my 8-year-old is very impressionable, you know, and once you tell him what this is for, he's like, okay, let's do it, you know, and he works really hard, maybe harder than my teenagers.
yeah,
you said this came out to 2022, right?
2022, yeah.
And it does sound too good to be true. And I hope anyone listening goes, oh, I want you to come to my school. How many schools right now are you helping? How can you grow it? How can we help you grow it? Do you have enough staff if all of a sudden you guys have 100 people all over the state saying, come to my school, come to my school?
That's a great question. So the only thing that limits us is our bandwidth with staff right now. Currently we're working with about 25 different schools, different levels of projects, from full certification to a year-long project to just helping with some events. We love to come work with any schools, but we want to do it right.
Yeah.
And we want to give our best efforts as well. And so if anybody's interested, I mean, reach out, and we've got a wait list. We'll put you on the wait list, and we're going to have an application process to kind of highlight the ones who have the most need and where it could be a best fit. But if anybody's interested, they can feel free to reach out, find our website, thepowerofkind.org. We're launching a new website next week, and we're really excited about how it looks. And so if they want to find us on there, reach out to be a partner, and we'll get in discussions and talk about it. And we might have to be okay to be on a wait list. But we have a lot of, one thing that we like to do and that we realize is we can't be everywhere all at once. And we were founded in Utah, and so a lot of our efforts are focused in Utah. And so we kind of call Utah kind of a lab or a petri dish where we're trying out things and learning things, but we're using what we're learning and some of the research being done to develop programs and resources that anyone could end up taking. And if you go on our website and you find some of these resources, you don't have to say One Kind Act a Day. You know, you could just say, I like this PowerPoint they're using, I like this information, take it and go start something at your own school. You don't need One Kind Act a Day or a kindness organization to come in to start spreading kindness at your school. You just need you.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it. Well, I hope you get inundated with people.
So do I.
Right? Like,
this is
thousands
just
more.
So great.
What do you normally do for, like, businesses?
For businesses, that's a great question. And we actually, last week, certified First Utah Bank as a very first certified business of kindness. And so they had a year-long initiative where we worked with them. But, you know, to be honest with them, it was really easy. It was already part of their DNA and part of their culture and what they were already doing. It was hard not to come in and say, you know what, we should just basically certify you from the get-go. You're doing a great job. But we worked with them, and they had a lot of great messaging to the clients. One thing that they liked, that I liked that they did, was they were cognizant enough to think, how can we be kind to our clients if we're not kind to each other first? And so before they even announced it, before they even did anything public, they decided to do something internally with each other and how they treated each other, and which was already very kind, but they took an extra focus on that. And then after they did a while with that, they turned more outward facing, a little more with signage and things to kind of, you know, they've got a number of locations where they could spread the message of just being kind within the community, and a lot of different things like that. So with businesses, that one's also different, because there's a lot of different businesses, and we, you know, bank looks a lot different than a correctional facility, which looks a lot different than, you know, a construction company. And so they're all different. So that's where the tailor making really comes in and helps. Some of them have very good HR systems set in place, or, you know, mental health systems set in place, employees kind of helping with that, that make it very easy for us to fold into what they're already doing. And some, you know, are like a toy store that doesn't have that kind of stuff, but is obviously a very kind and very fun place that wants to get involved. And so we try and figure out how we can involve it there. But I guess what I would say with businesses, what we like to see is more kindness within the business, within the company themselves, with how they treat each other, kindness towards their partner businesses they work with, and kindness towards their clients. And so kind of depends. A lot of different business models out there. Yeah.
So how I mean, is there training that you get beforehand, or how do your employees know what to do?
Like the businesses, the employees.
Yeah, when they go in. So no, you like, or the how does Stand for Kind when you go in? Like, are you as the representative for Stand for Kind? Are you trained?
One kind act a day.
Stand for Kind is another amazing kindness organization out there, and you should definitely look them up as well. They're also doing great work.
Can you edit that out?
It's a compliment to be confused for Stand for Kind.
That's right.
One kind act a day. Yeah. So are those that work there, is there like a training that you go through, or is it just kind of on the job, like figure it out?
That's a good question. When it started, it was kind of on the job, figure it out. But as we've grown and gotten better, part of what we do is kind of like, I guess our model of how we do is kind of like a mentorship training. We bring on a new employee, and rather than throw them in and say, okay, go talk to the school about going and being kind, we say, come with us and see how it's done. You know, see some of the phrasing we use, and here's some of the research that we have, and kind of see how it's done. Feel free to jump in at any time, you know, if you have anything to say. But I guess it's kind of done with kind of a mentorship model of training, bringing them along and kind of like a ride along, I would say, with these.
I love that. I think that's a great way to train, just get them right in there and see what's going on. And then
it's really beautiful because, you know, a lot of my job is answering a lot of emails and sitting at a desk sometimes, and those days are harder to remember the awesome thing that I get to do every day, which is go out and spread kindness. So but rather than leaving a new employee just to stay at the office and deal with busy work or answer the emails, it's more beneficial for them in their training to come along with us and come and see the things and see the amazing people we get to meet, the amazing organizations we get to work with, and a lot of the amazing projects and the benefits that happen. So that's a lot more beneficial, I feel like.
That's really neat.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. So if when you go to a school and you said it was tailored, that's awesome. Do you prefer to meet with, so if, let's say if a PTA contacts you, I'm hoping a lot of PTAs contact you, you would hope that you would go in with the PTA and with the staff and administration and tailor together? Is that how that would go?
Yeah, so we actually just finished an initiative at Valley View Elementary up in Davis School District. They're our second school in Davis School District to be certified as a school of kindness. And that's exactly how it happened. They have, I don't know if y'all have like an award for like the best PTA in the state or something like that, or like best PTA member or best PTA president. But if you want an inaugural award, you know, to start off, that'd be a great school. You should go look up that PTA there. They're one of the best ones we've worked with so far. And we worked with a lot of really great ones. But that's kind of how it happened, was we got connected with the PTA, and we were also connected with the principal, and we sat down with both of them, with the school leadership and school counselors and the PTA to kind of figure out how it would work. That's the best way, I feel like, when we get everybody involved, because we're then getting the staff involved. But, you know, we don't just want this to stop with staff and students. We want this to go to the home. We want it to go with the parents. And so that's why we like to work with the parents, with the PTA. And so having the PTA involved just, you know, amplifies the message even more and causes that spread even more. Schools, we like to say they're human epicenters of activity. You know, it starts and then it ripples out. And these kids are all the kids of our community leaders, community members, and so if we can get this message, not just to stick with the kids, but to go home and go to their parents, that can give it longevity, and that can give it a greater reach and a greater impact.
Good. Cool. Thanks.
We don't have a best PTA award, but we do have awards, and And programs, like implementing a program is one of them. And if you're watching, you should apply for that. They're usually due, I think, the first part of February.
March 1st. Usually.
Well, isn't that when they're due to the state?
Oh, yeah. So usually...
So I think they're usually due around the end of January.
Yeah.
We're not in charge of awards.
It depends on your... It depends on your area.
Yeah. Usually around January sometime, and then...
Mm-hmm. Well, if you find out who's in charge of awards and they want to start one, Valley View's the place to look, so... All
right. Comment, Valley View. Let us know.
Yeah.
You should definitely apply for this award.
Yes, yep. Yes.
Probably should. Like the spirit of PTA. That's a good
That would be a good
one. That's a good
one.
Yeah. Or the...
Well, there's the School of Excellence, right?
Yes.
That's...
Yeah, School of Excellence would be great, too.
School of Excellence, yeah.
But there's another one.
I cannot think of the awards right now.
I can't
there's like
either.
11 of them. I'm so sorry, Anne. I forgot the award.
Forgive us, Anne. And how did she
Well, I know there's like
awards.
Outstanding administrator and outstanding teacher.
The spirit of PTA. Is there like inclusivity?
There's a vault. I think there is. I think there's an inclusivity one and a
volunteer. Look it up, Mike.
All right, I'm looking.
Look it up.
Yeah, well, you should look it up because, yeah, they have, Melinda May, one of the PTA members, they had a, we brought a bunch of glow sticks and they had a glow stick party during lunch. With, you know, kind of glowing with kindness and sharing the light.
Oh, that's
and
cute.
And she had this whole outfit on, you know, the glow fairy or something like that. And they got this tree in their gymnasium lunchroom where it's just a tree that they set up, and then the kids would bring in these leaves writing on acts of kindness and things and they'd hang them up. And just grew and grew and grew. The principal had a really great idea. She said, you know, now that we're done with this month and it's turning to fall, we should turn to fall leaves and then do snowflakes. I don't know if they're going to keep it on, but it would look awesome at the end of the year, just the whole room full of all these kind acts. Just cute things like I let my friend use my materials to make a bookmark. I gave someone a hug. I held open a door. I helped my mom wash the dishes. There was one that made me pause for a second. It said, I gave my grandma in the hospital a heart attack. And I was like, hold on. And then I realized they were talking about the hearts on the door. And they had, you know, every Monday morning they would, and this is a good one to get the parents involved too. Every Monday morning they had student leadership out. They had the Hope Squad come out. And they had signs and they had the mascot. And they would have people honk for kindness. And so parents would honk the cars. Kids come out of the car and get a high five. I was like, man, if I went into like work every Monday and there were people honking for me and giving me high fives on the way in, I would feel great like the whole week. And so it was a lot of fun. They got Stanford Kind to come out and they did an assembly too during that month. And so it was a really great initiative that they put on there at Valley View. So. Who were you saying was in charge of awards? There's 11 of them. You should make a 12th one. You know.
If you have questions, I think it's awards at utahpta.org, too.
utahpta.org/UtahPTA Awards.
I guess we pulled it up.
Yep. The Advocacy Award, Development Award, Engagement Award, Outstanding Elementary Educator Award, Outstanding Secondary Educator Award, Outstanding School Administrator Award, Outstanding Support Staff Award, Outstanding Volunteer Award, PTA Spirit of Inclusivity Award, and Utah PTA Spirit of PTA Award.
Oh, there's a couple of you that I think you can apply for.
Yeah, so Valley View.
Valley View, do it.
And the One Kind Act Day Award.
We'll have to tag you in this one.
You're getting a lot of press.
Sorry.
So I do have a question. Do you ever do like, obviously, hopefully kids just feel good, but do you ever do a follow-up of like, what do these kind acts, like what's the reward that they reap? Do you ever do a follow-up on that?
With the kids?
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things we're trying to get with the kids specifically is these kindness clubs. And so for every school that certifies, we offer a kindness club. And we have a number of requirements, and we want to kind of give the kids responsibility over carrying that forward and maybe doing an initiative, a small one, maybe like a week-long thing. I'm focused on kindness, but keep that messaging through the year. And so if they certify school and they want to do this kindness club, which can fold in with another, you know, Stand for Kind club, a Hope Squad, a Just Serve club, we don't want to supplant any clubs, but something that could just complement it perfectly. And if they fulfill these requirements, rather than paying us dues for the club, we would offer a small donation for them to carry on and pay for some of the programs they could do. And so that's one of the things we do. If you want some, so we do a lot of initiatives. This one's, we're working with the Juvenile Justice Youth Services. as well, doing some initiatives with some of those great kids, and working with a partnership with Multicultural Affairs and Ogden Contemporary Arts, and doing a lot of really fun stuff with some other great partners that we have here in the state. But we did an initiative at one of the centers, and it was about 2-3 months long, where we had a month focused on kindness, book clubs, daily messaging, big activities on Fridays, journaling and all that. And then the kids came together and a muralist came in and helped them paint a really nice, beautiful mural in their gymnasium. Before, they had like this old one that had George Washington's in next to Yoda by Michael Jordan. It was really outdated and old.
That's awesome. Do the kids even know who Michael Jordan is?
But so, they did that, and they painted a really beautiful mural. But the point I wanted to get to was the director of the JJYS told us all that they had had with incidents that happen, you know, a change in 1%, or in single digits, I mean. It'll go up 4%, down 5%, up 2%, down 3%, you know, it moves like that. During the months that all of us and these partners were there, they had a 45% decrease in incidents with a 65% decrease in physical interventions, which was just phenomenal to hear.
That's crazy.
And so our director went to go talk to the kids, and there was a unit with teenage girls and a unit with young teenage boys. And we offered them some incentives and said, hey, let's keep this living on. And if you are able to have a month with zero incidents, we can bring in some rewards. Let's talk about what that might be and incentivize it for you a little bit. I just heard, and you know, this is secondhand information, but I heard that the boys' unit succeeded. They had zero incidents this month.
Oh, wow.
And so we're really excited to go back and talk with them. And the boys were especially interesting too, because they had a different kind of culture, kind of a setting up a pecking order, you know, who was top dog, and they weren't getting along. And we went in and talked to them and said, listen, it's you, you know, 10 in here, this is your community. It's your choice to build what kind of community you want. That power is on you. What community you're going to build and what kind of culture you're going to carry forward when new people come in and when you leave. And they really responded to that. And they, at the end, you know, just see them have their arms around each other and calling each other my brother, my friend, and just a complete 180 shift and how they interacted. So it is really rewarding to kind of go back and see, like you're saying, some of these experiences and how it's carried on with some of these kids. Yeah.
That's really neat.
Yeah, that is really cool. That's really powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's probably something that those kids can look back on for a long time.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it was actually a lot of fun. One of the things we did with them was we brought in a service project, you know, getting them to do something positive and service-oriented with their hands. And what we did, I apologize, I can't remember the name of the organization, but you take plastic bags, like grocery bags, and you get them cut, and you weave them into these plastic mats that then they can give out to people in need. And they show that they provide a 40 degree difference in temperature in the wintertime between sleeping on the ground versus sleeping on the mat. And so we couldn't have the kids cut them. Actually, First Utah Bank cut them for us for one of their service projects. And then the kids actually did the weaving of these things, and they just jumped into it, and they loved it. And they were just talking about how much fun this is. When they got out, they were going to do this kind of service all the time. And just, you could see them seeing that they were helping someone else, you know. And they didn't even see those people, but they knew where it was going towards. Just made a big difference in how they felt about who they were, you know, that they could help someone.
I think it's really important that we teach our kids how to think outside of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And because we often forget as adults to do that too.
Yeah.
And like, when you do serve, you're serving to help benefit the other person, but you come out benefited so much too.
Yep.
You know, I'm like, oh, like, okay, like, I'm feeling a lot better about things as well, because I don't know, it's just like, just part of the benefit, like, you know, you just feel that love and you feel good about life. And
yeah, no, we teach some courses out at the Department of Corrections out with the inmates out there, and one of my students was talking about that. He's like, listen, I don't know if I'm being selfish or not, because I'm trying to be kind, you know, and it's interesting and difficult in the environment that I'm in, but I know, based off the classes and just my own experience, that as I'm kind, there's so many benefits to myself. Like, we've been talking about health benefits, mental health benefits, you know, social benefits, and benefits to my soul and my community. And so I know I'm getting all these things. Like, am I being selfish by being kind? I was like, no, not really. I mean, like, I'd rather you be selfish and kind than selfish and unkind if you came, like, got right down to it. But the honest truth of it is, as we're kind, we naturally, those benefits will follow. And it's not selfish to know about them or be cognizant of them. It's good to help motivate us sometimes. But as we're kind, you know, those benefits just naturally follow. And that's just something that we can just benefit from.
Yeah. I love that. Am I being selfish?
He was like concerned. He's like, is it really kind if I know that it's good for me? And I was like, well, is exercise good for you too? And like, he's like, okay, yeah. I get it.
Because it's just a byproduct of being kind. And but at the same time, you're like, well, am I serving to make myself feel good? Or like, or am I serving to help? Or, you know, like. Yeah.
It's a tricky
game. Yeah. And maybe sometimes you do both, you know, like.
Well, maybe it starts out one way and transitions to, you know, because sometimes I think my kids do things like that because they feel forced.
Uh-huh.
But yeah. Hopefully by the end, they're like, okay, yeah, that was a good thing.
Yeah. I know, like, kids often, they're like, oh, I don't want to do this service project. But then you watch them, they do it, whether their parents force them to come or whatever. But you watch them just, like, their spirits just go up and up as they're doing it, and they walk out with like true smiles.
Yeah.
You know, and like, I think that's so, so good to teach kids.
Yeah.
And getting them to work with their hands too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think kids thrive when they have something that they can work with their hands. So, I love it.
Yes.
It's really neat. So, I had a thought. Do we want to like challenge Utah PTA or kind of figure out something that we can do as Utah PTA, you know, to encourage obviously one kind act a day, but is there something, any thoughts or ideas?
Definitely.
Definitely
you have thoughts.
I feel like
we should
definitely do something. What should this something be?
What can Mason tell us that we should do? Maybe we could have Mason tell us and the Utah PTA and everyone listening maybe some idea for us to do.
Yeah, I have something that can help out a lot. Really what we want people to do is just do one kind act a day, you know, make that commitment. And so I don't know if you've ever, you know, read like a self-help book, but they always say, you know, 21 days to make a new habit, right? We've all heard that and it sounds great. 3 weeks to change my life, right?
So
it's funny because you go to the research where a lot of people quote that from, and in the study they did, they had people try and start lots of different habits, and they saw people, it took 18 to 256 days to change a habit, which is a widespread, you know? The 21 was just like the convenient, like average number, so they're like, 21 days to change it. But really, in reality, it's a long time. You know, it could be a short amount of time, or it could be, you know, almost a year. And so the best way to start a real habit is consistency and reminders, and also making a commitment to do it. If I tell myself I'm going to go to the gym more, I probably won't go tonight, you know. But if I tell my wife I'm going to try and go to the gym more, she'll be like, hey, aren't you supposed to be at the gym right now? And that'll help me. I have that accountability. I've made a commitment to someone. And so on our website, we actually have a pledge you can take where you pledge. It's like, it's our pledge of kindness. So you make a pledge, you make a promise, a commitment to yourself and on the website to do one kind act a day. And to help with that, I don't like getting a lot of emails. Like I said, I get a lot of emails. I don't like that. And I don't like getting long emails. But to help with reminding you with that is we send out a small and short email on Monday to start your week and on Friday to start your weekend. It's just a quote, a little quote about kindness, a little idea of something you can do. And if you want to, you can also sign up to get text messages on Wednesdays. And what these are is just a way for you to just get these little reminders, a couple of them through the week, to help you with that habit. We get a lot of good feedback on it. Our unsubscribe rate for those is virtually nothing. You know, how can you unsubscribe to kindness? You know?
It's true. It's true. Well, maybe when this episode goes live, we could post it on our post, like a challenge with it. Like, okay, take the kindness pledge, and then like post in the comments like the proof that you took the kindness pledge or something, you know?
I think, or then that challenge somebody else.
Yeah, I think that would be awesome. So you take the challenge and then challenge someone else to do it too and tag them.
I love it. And we had one guy tell us, he's like, I love getting those messages through the week. Sometimes I don't want to open them, because I know it's contrary to my current mood, and I'm going to open it and read about being kind. But he's like, but I always do, and it always just makes my day a little bit better, and reframes, you know, what I'm going through, and he's like, they're really beneficial to me through the day, so.
I feel that same way. Not the last one that was sent, but the one before that, I was like kind of in a really grumpy mood, and I was like, not doing it.
I just want to be grumpy.
I know, right? Like,
that's our problem. You don't want to be happy.
Right. All right, here we go, guys.
You're signing up?
Oh, he's right doing now. It right now as we speak.
And the phone number. Which is crazy. I never give my phone number to you people.
Do they have like a text option?
Yeah, you can.
I want to receive kindness reminders via text message.
Yeah, that's how I'd want to. Because my email inbox just gets so full. And
we fill you on the like lots of emails.
Yeah, that's why I try and keep it short and just do little ones a week. You know,
yeah. Maybe.
But yeah,
the spotty internet.
Well, you made the commitment now to do one kind act a day, so you can follow up with him on your next episode.
That's right.
I know, for sure. For sure. Have you done it yet, Cammie?
No, because I don't know how this hooked up to the internet. So.
Oh. All right, thanks for pledging to be kind.
You're welcome.
Sweet.
Right.
Go do it.
Any last little thoughts?
Yeah.
For me?
Yeah.
I
think we covered a lot of great things.
Yeah, you dude did great. This is awesome.
Thank you. Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate that. I really get to, me and Angeli work a little bit on the Family Life Commission. I really just love being part of the PTA and doing all, just being part of all the great work you're all doing. We talked a lot about my organization, but, you know, we can toot your horn for a little bit. The PTA is awesome. And we love working with all you all in the schools, and we love just the great things you're doing for the kids. And the way that your organization has really shown up for kindness, to spread kindness. On all of our certifications that we offer the schools, it's signed by the PTA president. Christina Pexton, who's on our board, is part of the PTA. She's come to a lot of our assemblies and helped speak to the kids when we give these certificates. And so I really appreciate all the things you've all done to spread kindness already through the state. But last things for me, I guess would say we'd love to work with you. We'd love to spread kindness in your school. We would love to do whatever we can to help increase the culture. There's a lot of great organizations out there. You can look them up as well. Just get engaged and spread kindness. And it doesn't have to, you don't have to involve us. We want to be there. We want to be part of it. We want to help use any of our resources. But it really just starts with you and what you're doing with one person.
Awesome.
It's true. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, ready for our dance?
Yep.
Oh, there's a dance.